Welcome to Carly Gousset, The Truth Lies in Between, a podcast about a missing teen from California that discusses the truth, the lies, and everything in between. I am D, I am your host, and this podcast is brought to you by Missing Person Cases Network. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram at missing_persons_network, on Twitter at @the_MPC network. And you could just Google us and you will find out information about us. I would just like to say that this is only like my 11th total podcast. You know, this is the 5th podcast of this, so not even 11th. I have 4, so 9 podcasts I've done. So I don't have recording information or a recording studio. So I apologize if some things don't come clear or you hear something in the background. You know, I'm hoping to get some of that equipment soon so that you don't have to deal with that. But please just bear with me. This is episode 5. And we're going to go over social media and its negative and positive impacts it has had on this case. This case has really lived and died on social media. You know, the live videos are what really have given this case its notoriety to begin with. Without those videos, where would this case even be at, right? Would there be any people even really looking into it much, right? The groups on social media, a lot of times, are what keeps a case going. I could name hundreds of cases that have no one looking at them, and it's sad. You know, I do this state by state, where I've been looking into cases state by state. And I've been going alphabetically. I'm still working on it. I've been doing it since last year. I don't have time to do one every day like I was at first. But it's sad. I go by Charlie Project. And just even Googling that state. And even some cases on Charlie Project, it just says no. There's not much information about this case. It's sad. It really is. There are even some people out there that haven't even been reported missing. Yes, there are negatives about what social media has done with this case, but no matter what, it's always going to be a positive. So we know that Melissa Gousset and Sheriff Braun have dubbed this the unfair social media trial, right? But how unfair is it when it was originally started by Melissa and her live videos? Okay, so nowadays, it is crucial to make sure everything you put on social media is something you really want on there. I know many of us had made the mistake of putting things on social media we now regret. Is anything ever really deleted that you post online? That's another question. So these videos are really the evidence that many turn to when stating reasons why they believe Melissa is guilty. And then they will also state the inconsistencies regarding the timeline, what Carly was wearing, and even maybe go into a specific reason on a live, or the fact that, you know, the witnesses, quote unquote witnesses, because they weren't brought to Dr. Phil, or this audio that they wouldn't let play. These are reasons that you can either go for or against Melissa. So, but there is no, you know, evidence beyond the circumstantial, unless you want to consider lying evidence, which it is. But We're talking let me reword that. There's no physical evidence, right? At the moment, right? And a lot say that may be because of the shoddy police job that has been done so far. So with that being said, you know, I already have 4 episodes and one goes over the live videos. I may go, you know, before I give my personal theories on the case, I may go over some other live videos in another episode, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure how many more episodes there are going to be, but, you know, I have never stated that Melissa is guilty on this podcast. I do have a theory on YouTube, but, you know, I've never stated that she is guilty here within these episodes. I also cannot say she's guilty. I do not know. I can only give my opinion based on what I see as evidence. So, but this podcast is really for 2 reasons. It is not to convict Melissa, number one. Get that right off the bat. It's not to convict Melissa at all. What it is to do is, number one, raise awareness for Carly's case, and number two, try to get to the bottom of what happened to Carly. So like I was saying about future episodes, so I had the first 5 mapped out. I haven't mapped out any more. There will be just probably a couple more, but unless there's any new breaking evidence or anything else that comes out, it'll look like there'll just be a couple more episodes. So, let me get into what this episode is going to be about. This episode is just going to give the brief history of basically so to kind of put you in time frame of while it was happening on social media and what took place. From someone, me, who was experiencing it. And I will be going over what negatively has taken place and what positively has taken place. It is important to understand the context of time in relation to what took place on social media as to why this case is where it is. It's very important. All we really have are those videos. That's really it. There's been some inconsistencies, what Carly was wearing, witnesses, lack thereof, audio tapes, lack thereof. And we have the, you know, typical small town sheriff's office at the forefront of another missing persons case with controversy. Okay. Sheriff that has, you know, has had zero press conferences on Carly, but gets on TV to discuss the drama of social media. And this is why I've had to dedicate one of the episodes, possibly 2, I don't know yet. I don't plan out my shows like that. You know, I won't really know if this may be 2, because, you know, we'll just look at it like this. A sheriff doesn't have a press conference on the missing person, but does go on the news to speak about social media's negative effect and the drama that comes with it. So, you know, what we do know is that Lindsay's letter to the sheriff, and some of Melissa Gousset's own words, confirm that the police work done by local law enforcement has been inept at best. That has also then been confirmed by someone with the most law enforcement experience on this whole case, who would be Michael Boone, someone who really knows what good police work is. And he is also pivotal to this case because, like I said, he's the most experienced law enforcement officer even working it. except he is not actually getting paid, which is something important to point out. And you may all know who he is because he was on the Dr. Phil episode, and he was discussing the infamous audio tape that is also really at the forefront of this investigation. And I will be discussing him, not as much as I would like, but it is important to this case and where we're at today. I'm sure you all remember the recording I played in episode 4, where there is somebody speaking about Mr. Boone, who you may or may not know to be Travis Moore. I will explain that, not in great detail because it's not beneficial, but it's important to, like I said, understand this case. So back to the investigation, or shall I say lack thereof, you know, why wasn't typical protocol followed of a missing person's case from the call inception, right? Why wasn't the reporting officer following typical missing persons protocol? Why did Melissa Gousset go into Carly's phone? You know, is this simply a case of a law enforcement agency lacking experience, or do we have something more sinister at play here? Is Sheriff Braun's resistance to investigate because she dropped the ball, or is there some huge conspiracy involving small town politics? Maybe we have a mix of the two. Either way, all the drama and negativity I will discuss has only benefited that law enforcement agency, right? It isn't benefiting Carly at all, not even a little bit. Well, I guess that's not true either, because if there wasn't that, then no one would be talking about Carly, I don't think. If those videos weren't made, if this controversy wasn't going on, Carly's case would have been buried just like those others I spoke of that I see on Charlie Project, right? Although, I don't know if Lindsay would have really allowed that, because she is pretty feisty herself. But, you know, all of this petty drama that is going on has only benefited, well, generously benefited the sheriff. And all of the mistakes that have gone on so far. So once I explain all of the drama, I really hope that we leave it there, move forward, and discuss the real issues. That way, we may come closer to either finding Carly or getting Carly the justice she deserves. So I'm going to go over the negative stuff first. Even though everything is kind of intermingled, you know, here are some of the negatives. There have been some simple petty group drama, whether we start with the petty drama on the first original Carly group, right? A lot of times cases just have one group and people just coexist. They ask questions and they either get their answer and they like it or they don't. The problem was people asking rational questions were kicked out of the group. If you shared, right, this information that was that the stepmother was sharing, you were kicked out, which is really puzzling because the most important thing, especially at the beginning of a missing person's case, is to get the information out as far-reaching as you can, especially seeing that she kept mentioning that, you know, it's possible that Carly was being, you know, taken and trafficked from California to Massachusetts. She states it often in the first videos. So why wouldn't she want everyone in the country sharing these videos? You know, the drama didn't really start until she appointed a quote-unquote special investigator to the group, and she went from saying, share the bleep out of this, to don't share when you need a secure group, which is just BS. It really is. You know how many missing person cases would die for the amount of people that the official group has? Do you have any idea? There are mothers and fathers that would be dying to answer those questions, dying to answer them. So, I mean, that's a crock of bullcrap. But then there's been drama within other groups. There's been drama with Melissa versus Lindsay. And you know, I think we all can see. So, if you haven't been along for the ride since day one, yes, originally they were all together. And then maybe five, I don't know how many days in it was exactly, but Lindsay kind of just said, no, I'm going to go home. I don't really want to be a part of this anymore. There were some things that were just irking her, which is understandable once I tell you. One of them was that Melissa was going into the bathroom to record these live videos. And a lot of people who have analyzed those videos have said things like that she started making about herself. And I think you could say after, you know, 20-something videos in only less than 9 days, what information did she really have to put out at that point? And yes, it can certainly get to your head, all that attention. I agree. So there's that drama, which should still not be playing out to today. Okay, if Lindsay suspects that something is off with the stepmom, then she should be able to ask questions to that stepmom. The fact that she wasn't allowed to go on stage with her is just very petty. To say the least, I think a lot of people found that petty. Even Dr. Phil himself, he said in 48 years, he's never seen such a thing. And, you know, Lindsay has never directly made these accusations, but she just has questions and that's very much warranted. So then there's also been there's been drama between even the pro Lindsay groups themselves. There's been drama. There's a group that is just for drama. It's a troll group. It's called Jargon. It's a public group, so you can look into it. You know, all they really do is make fun of Lindsay. They get on Lindsay when in reality, Lindsay was nowhere near Carly when this took place. Okay. They make fun of me, they make fun of the PIs, they make fun of Wendy because she's trying to organize a search. Now, who makes fun of somebody for trying to organize a search? That's a good question, right? Then there's been, there was this drama that I got into with the clip of what this episode would be about, and that is the Travis versus Boone drama that should have never taken place in the first place. And I myself took blame for that as well. I took partial blame for it, which I should have, because it went down in my group. And I will get into that more. I will get into more of the official group drama and how that drama is more intentional drama to take the light off Carly and investigating Carly. For instance, recently Linda Berg came out and said that she said that she was at the taping of Carly and only 3 minutes of the tape was played. Because after the Dr. Phil second episode, a lot of people were questioning Lindsay and her PI. Okay, and I think that was set up to try to make Lindsay look a little crazy. And I think that there's another podcast out there. I'm not sure why there hasn't been another episode, but the person at the forefront of it, Kyle Dill, was, you know, supposed to be in touch with me to begin with, and I never heard from him, and he was only in touch with Travis, and I think Travis kind of got into his head, may have told him a lot of lies, and I think he originally thought this was something that it isn't. I don't know. You know, the podcast was very professionally done. It was a great podcast. You know, I wish he would have continued on, but I think that they were maybe going to try and put Lindsay in a bad light, kind of. So they were kind of going to go off that Dr. Phil almost. I don't know. That is just my speculation. So once, if Linda hadn't spoken up, people would still be probably arguing that point. But she did. And then magically, you know, Melissa made a post in the, I'm not sure if she made it on her own Facebook or in the official group's Facebook, that, you know, Linda hadn't called her in like a month or something. And she, you know, she fired her basically on social media. Another reason why social media is so pivotal. People are being fired there, which is just very unprofessional. But so I guess you could say that Linda was Melissa's PI. But I'm sure they have a new PI. I will go now. We'll go into the whole Boone incident. It is very important. So, you know, I was told that this Boone guy wasn't licensed, and I was provided a screenshot where his license was canceled, and this person didn't then provide me one showing me that it was now no longer canceled. So I took to my group and I asked people that, you know, I heard this guy's license is canceled, blah, blah, blah. And then Boone just literally takes a picture of his license and puts it in there. So then that's when I started questioning things myself. Because I ate crow like really bad that day. So let me just get into to a couple of clips of what I was being told about this man. Now, I must first state that I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. So if I meet somebody and they haven't lied to me and they seem like a good person, you know, I'm not going to Google every single thing they tell me, because I'm thinking that I just don't think now I do that because I don't trust anyone because of this. You know, I didn't know about sock accounts before this. I didn't know about these trolls. I didn't know about any of that crap that goes on. I don't know why it goes on. It does no justice to the missing person. It is horrible. I wish it would stop, but it won't. It actually gets worse and worse. So just let me get into some audio clips of what this person was telling me about these PIs, and specifically Boone, but what he was actually saying that these PIs were even about, which is not true at all. They're actually reputable in this industry. You know, Boone's, it's his first time, but he was a former homicide detective, so he doesn't really need much experience in missing persons if he's a homicide background.
Boone and Linda Burge got referred onto the case by Mrs. Phillips with the NEO title. Now, most of their private investigator work is doing the mortgage loan applications for NEO. And I believe they were actually appointed by Jamie. And then this is back when Lindsay, Melissa, everyone was on Purple Group, and they decided to get the two PIs. So they were actually like appointed to them. And then the organization that both Linda Burge and Michael Boone work for is called Operation Found Safe. And if you Google them, there's like no references, no real track record or any of that being involved in missing persons cases. So I think it's just kind of a bunk org for doing the pro bono tax write-offs or something through INEO, County Title, and a few of the other mortgage companies. Like, it really isn't like specialty we find missing persons or are really big into like child trafficking or any of that kind of stuff. And then if you look up Michael Boone's as former law enforcement officers, There is a Michael Boone that caught child pornography charges. And talking to Cammy, she brought that up to Inyo Sheriff. And I guess they've done a background check and confirmed it. He had licenses canceled in 2009 in California and license canceled in 2013. One of them was a firearms one. As it looks like this guy's kind of been around the block a few times with his age and all that kind of stuff, that he's been in and out or kind of doing these kind of cases for a while.
Well, the lie detector test determined that was all pretty much a lie. Now, this, folks, is why you need to look into things yourself. But when someone usually says to you, if you Google blah, 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 it comes up. No, 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 no. So number one, if you do Google Operation Found Safe, you're going to see that their mission as an organization whose mission is to educate and train communities on how to protect children from abduction, exploitation, and human trafficking by working closely with families and law enforcement by assisting in the search and location of missing children throughout the U.S. so that they can be, quote-unquote, found safe, Operation Found Safe. Okay, and you can click and see their current cases, and you see that it's right now. They have quite a few. I'm not sure if they're still considered working on Carly's case, but another one named Nandy Rosary and Maylee Travis. And I've looked at their website throughout the time they've had Carly's case, and they have other cases. Then there's a section you can click on where it's found safe, okay? And there are plenty of cases where they have been found safe, okay? That's many, many cases, right? So just by clicking on that found safe area, you'd see that they have been involved in many cases. I mean, there were some things that he said that were correct because they were appointed. So I believe, I'm not sure how they were appointed. I know he throws Miss Phillips' name out there. Miss Phillips is Melissa's mother. But he had also told me that Miss Phillips owned Inyo title, and I have no way to confirm that either. You know, that's why I have to go back and literally look at anything I was ever told. So, you know, as far as the, you know, Linda being, so Linda was, I guess, appointed to Melissa while Lindsay got Michael, which I don't believe that to be true either, only because the reason that Michael even came on the case was because Linda couldn't do the day-to-day, you know, pounding the pavement work because she has cancer. Because Travis was actually making fun of that at the beginning as well. So there is no depth that he won't go as far as being a scumbag. Clearly, when you're mocking somebody for their GoFundMes associated with cancer care. So this is, as you heard in the later part, he claims that Michael Boone is that horrible thing. I'm not even going to repeat it. Michael Boone is the furthest from that, right? You know, I thank the Lord that I never came out and accused him of that, because I accused him of not having a license. And like I said earlier, I ate crow badly. And that's when I started really questioning things. But these lies were spread to many people far, far out. Many people, okay? He also was, you know, just messaging locals because he was the admin of the group. He really was the definition of abuse of power. You know, we tell people not to message family, so therefore we should abide by the same rules. If family messages us, that is different. You know, once I went back and looked in over everything, I really wish I had micromanaged him, because he's someone you need to really watch closely. So I just want you guys to see what was being said about Michael Boone and how it is an absolute lie. Somebody messaged me the other day, okay? I removed them from my group because they were in another group just starting crap, you know, posting pictures of my cousin, which is completely doxing, saying that I look nothing like him, like this person anymore because I do drugs and this and that. Well, little do they know, of course I don't look like him. He is my cousin. So yeah, anyways, well, that person was trying to tell me that Michael Boone didn't have he was not licensed. And I was like, don't, please, we're not going back to square one, okay? Michael Boone he's beyond licensed. Like, get up to date if you're going to be a shit talker. Where are you going to be next? The next thing she's probably going to tell me is that he's this pedophile and this horrible man. I've already been through this ringer. I know. He's none of those things, so... You can, but that means that she's telling other people these things and they're going to blindly believe them, just like many people do. Because, like I even said, you know, usually someone, why would she, you know, people are thinking to themselves, you know, why is this woman just going to randomly message me saying Michael Boone isn't licensed, right? Or in my case, talking to Travis and he's telling me that this person is a child molester and it's been confirmed by Inyo County Sheriff. Right? You think that, and the person that he says, I'm not going to say her name, but you know who she said, who he said is the one who said it. And she's a, you know, a reputable person being a local politician, right? The county clerk. So you have to take all that into consideration. And these lies and rumors are still being spread to today. You go into that troll group, you go look in there, they're slandering Michael to this day. But so Michael, who, like I've said, was the only one investigating this case. And now I'm going to explain to you guys how I found out that these were lies. How I found out was, so after Travis told me that he was unlicensed and I ate the crow, he wanted to have a post that I will have a video up for this podcast. It won't be until tomorrow because I have to work today. And I'll have some screenshots. I can't provide them all, but I'll have the screenshot with the post of him trying to dox Michael Boone. And I took it down and he was very angry. And, you know, I can provide the audio, but there's no point. I'll just tell you, he was very angry. He was, you know, visibly upset that I wouldn't allow the post to stay up because I was questioning things now, and I am not going to allow a post up for people to, you know, he was basically trying to have other people do the investigation from him because what he was telling me was clearly lies. So he had no clue what he was talking about. Those things were never confirmed. No one would really vouch for it. So he was trying to have people pretty much make up stuff and provide it for the group. And then he was telling me, oh, the locals want it up. And the people that he was telling me are the people that we was already mentioned, supposedly confirming it through Inro Sheriff and her mother. So there's that. Beware if he tells you things. I wouldn't believe them. You can blame them if you want. Go ahead and believe them. I'm just telling you the route that I went and how I had to look like an idiot, and when I did find this out that, you know, I was wrong about Michael Boone, I admitted it, like someone who's an adult is supposed to do. If you're wrong, right, you admit that, and then you move forward, and that's what I did. So it took a while for me to really disassociate with this Travis character, but I did, and, you know, things... The drama has magically gone away. There's no, the only drama, quote unquote drama, you'll find in my group is just people arguing about whether Melissa's guilty or not. And that's just going to happen no matter what. You can't prevent that. The only way to prevent that is to get rid of people who have an opinion one way or another, which for a while, so there was a long period where when this was going on about Boone, he wanted me to remove Boone and the other PIs and anyone who supported them. And I wasn't going to do that, okay? The whole point of this group was to get, you know, rational thinkers asking questions and talking. And if it wasn't for those people, I never would have found out the truth as fast as I did, okay? So I wouldn't allow that question, and that's when the rift began, because he knew he couldn't just push me around and just no longer would be able to get things over on me so quickly. And, you know, that led to a lot of issues. A lot of people just will blindly believe bullcrap, and you can't, especially in a case of this importance. So I've said many times I don't usually follow or even have groups on cases like this because they have enough notoriety. You know, and like I've said, she has a lot of notoriety, maybe not enough for how much she should have, but enough where, like, I don't need to educate people on her case because there is some awareness. Most of the cases I look into have zero, have maybe one article and not much. You know, if I make a video on it, it would be the only video on that case. This case has, it's over, almost over covered now on YouTube, in my opinion. You know, we're not talking Chris Watts over covered, but it's getting close to over covered. The reason I'm doing this podcast is because it's a different approach to the case, looking at different angles of the case. To spread the type of awareness that this case deserves. Because I think if people stop talking about it, then someone may possibly get away with murder, or she may never be found. And that's just a sad truth. So, like I was saying, Michael Boone is more than reputable. He has a long storied career in law enforcement. He was a homicide detective. So what they were saying about him being even part of Operation Found Safe is incorrect. He has never done, I don't know if he has, maybe he has done title work. I don't know. I mean, he probably has, because he probably doesn't want to do things like this now that he's already done, you know, murder cases. But Linda Berg, Operation Found Safe doesn't do title work, okay? It's called Operation Found Safe. It's obviously for missing people. And if I had just Googled it like he said that he had done, I would have found this out myself. So that's my own fault, and I take credit for that. And like I believe I've already said, Michael, this is his first missing persons case, but when you've worked murder cases, it doesn't really matter. If you can find a murderer, you can probably find a missing person. You know, he may have been appointed to Lindsay, but, you know, so then I would have to say Lindsay got pretty lucky, right? To say the least. So now that whole thing's over with, we can move forward. I don't really need to go any deeper into this. You know, I could play clips and clips and clips of Travis just trash talking this man, but it will really prove nothing. So I'm going to move on to the next bit of negative. Negative social media, or negativity that has came from social media. Okay, so next negative of this has been doxing. Okay, it is known that you don't dox. You don't do that. Doxing is giving, you know, people's real background. So I have a real account. I never really understood why people have, well, I understand now why people have fake accounts. But you know, I always use my real account. I never knew anything about fake accounts. I will not make a fake account. But I understand why people do. You know, a lot of doxing has occurred. A doxing of other admins who didn't deserve it, like Tanya. Anna. You know, they've said a lot of horrible things about her. Very unnecessary. They've said horrible things about everyone, okay? So, once this happened, and I kind of had a rift with Travis, they knew I wasn't just going to listen to anything. So, you know, I'm going to speed through some certain parts that I will talk about later, maybe in another episode, but don't really matter here. So, all of a sudden, Travis says he's going to Bishop. He goes to Bishop. Whatever, there's a lot more that's into that, but, you know. And then he's home, and I'm getting messages about him possibly going around saying he's an investigator for Missing Persons Cases Network, which is just not true. There's also grant stuff that went on. You know, I thought that he was misrepresenting himself there. So I was talking to them because it was really him and this other girl, Bells, who's just as bad or worse than him as far as doing negative things on cases and hindering and tampering and things like that. You know, they thought that because they knew my background, they were going to be able to just threaten me with doxing. And no, I don't give a crap. They weren't expecting that. But Travis, so what really created the absolute fallout was I said, you know, you need to tell me everything that was said regarding Missing Persons Cases Network. And Travis said, I shit you not. And I will show you on the video, the actual screenshot. He says, we need to have levels of secrecy. And I'm like, levels of secrecy about what, though? Like, this shouldn't be lying anyways. So that only one of us has to go to jail. And then that was it, okay? You know, removed everyone as admin. But in the meantime, they were trying to take over themselves. And they actually ended up taking two groups, which is fine. That's a small loss, to say the least. I think they still had thought in their minds that they were still going to be getting the grant, which was never even a possibility. Because they don't really understand how those type of things work. I was always unclear about the grant to begin with. He gave very vague information, said someone would be contacting me. The same thing he said with Kyle Dill, that Kyle Dill would be contacting me. And then it just went away. I never asked any more questions because you don't think that someone is that vindictive or would lie that much, right? He lied about a lot about Underground Railroad, saying that this, like, basically fabricated everything to do with them. And then I was told that they had nothing to do with the case. Now I'm being told they may have something going on behind the scenes. So I don't really want to speak on them. I just know that they never received the grant for Carly. So whatever is going on with them, I don't know. I don't want to speak on it. And so that's another thing he slandered. He slandered Underground Railroad because regardless of what went on with Carly, Underground Railroad is a very, very reputable organization. Like I've said, probably one of the biggest in sex trafficking there worldwide. You know, I don't think that they would even be messing around with, you know, $200 grant to them is, you know, nothing. $200,000, I mean. You know, there's an associate from OUR that Travis has slandered horribly, I have never met the guy. I don't know the guy. I'm not even going to mention his name. It's not important, but he has been slandered by Travis. So if you don't do what Travis wants, he's going to slander you. So he has also doxed people along the way. They tried to use doxing as something to think that I wouldn't come out and tell the truth because I was afraid to be doxed. I don't care. You can, anybody who wants can look me up. It's perfectly fine with me. My past has made me, you know, who I am today. And I don't really, I mean, obviously I regret things I've done, but I don't regret who has made me now. Like I've told you guys in the last episode, I've gone to college, I've worked on Wall Street, I've been successful, I've also had my downfalls, right? Just like anybody else. You know, some of my downfalls have been maybe lower than others, but it is what it is, right? You know, I'd rather have done that than succeeded and failed than never done anything with my life. So, they dox a lot of people. They did the most horrible thing to somebody who has stuck by me through this Melody Dawn. And they started a rift between me and her as well. But we came out on top of that. They've doxed other people. Bell's doxed other people I knew. And that wasn't a warning, enough warning to me to stay far away. I should have. So, you don't do that. And I'm not sure exactly what they did to Anna, but I know they've just said some horrible things about her. When all she's never done anything wrong, never done anything wrong to me. I know that. You know, I'm not sure. I'm sure they've tried to say negative things about Tanya. I'm sure they've tried to say negative things about just anyone who it doesn't fit their agenda. So that brings me into another thing. They also were very pro-Lindsay and anti-Melissa, and now they've switched. And the reason they've switched is because Lindsay co-signed for Boone by saying, I remember it clearly. She said, you know, I very much support my team. Anybody who says differently, that's not true. And the fact she even had to do that is crazy. It's because of Travis. Travis was creating this narrative that it was, you know, I even have screenshots. I will show them where he's saying, yeah, I'm getting Lindsay to, in one way or another, saying I'm getting Lindsay to leave Boone to come with me. I'm almost there. And Boone is lying to her and holding her captive. And no, Lindsay and saying that, you know, Boone was blackmailing her and Boone was doing this. No, Boone would not do some crap like that. So if you hear anything about like that, understand it is a complete lie. Now, we've talked way too much about this person who just has provided nothing for this case. Okay, look what he did to AD. Look what he did to Armchair Detective. Armchair Detective had a picture of his back, and he was trying to file a copyright against him. And yeah, he could afford it and won, but it would have took days or even weeks, and he could have lost. And if he lost that, so let's say the person who really did own that picture wanted to say it was theirs. AD would have lost. He would have got a strike. If you get three strikes, you get kicked off YouTube. AD has what, like 35,000 subscribers? You're not going to take that chance. And Travis knew that. Travis wanted him to donate to CARSAR, which is Car Search and Rescue. So that's another thing he has tried to do. He has tried to build a search and rescue off of Carly's back. He tried to build I don't know if he still is. I know they were trying to build a missing persons company off of Carly's name, okay? By saying that he had, telling me that he had, he had the drone guys. He had the the media guy and Kyle Dill, that he had the Cadaver Dog guy and Paul, who that's another story. So that's a whole episode in itself, which is Paul and Arpad Vass, and that he had Arpad Vass and Paul working for him, and they were trying to make this whole missing persons company, and that basically I think he was going, him and someone else, I'm not going to say their name, were going to be the search and rescue part of it. I don't know if they're still doing that. I really hope they aren't, because it's not a good thing, right? This is corruption at its worst. You know, Paul and Arpad Vass alone shouldn't even be in missing persons cases, but that's a whole nother story. And like I said, that's another episode. Maybe that's going to probably be the next episode, but we're not even going to get through this social media negative and positive in one episode. It's definitely going to be two. So let me get on to my next point. Okay, so other drama. We had the drama of the first group that was anti-Melissa, which was, or quote-unquote anti-Melissa, which was Ethan's group, and that group disbanded because there was a video around that was one of the sisters of one of the guys who was there, and she said she had video of Carly of that night. I don't know if that video has ever been given to anyone, but supposedly this guy Ethan had it, and Ethan was scared that the FBI was going to come after him. But if you don't have the video, then what are you scared about, right? So maybe he did have it. I don't know. I have no clue at all. I wasn't really too active in that group. So, I was in maybe one group chat with him, but I don't, was never speak of that. If somebody would know, it would be Travis. So you can ask him. Travis tried to blame that on Boone too, that the reason that the first group was gone was because of Boone. So I'm going to go back to how I started knowing that Boone, besides the fact that Travis was lying about Boone. But so now there was that post that was put up, that post that said, if you have anything bad about Boone, please put it here, blah, blah. And I took it down. He got mad at me. Well, he was supposed to be providing these 56 screenshots, because I'm going to be providing screenshots for that type of stuff. Anything that has to do with Travis, but not Boone. Because his name has just been drugged through the mud enough that he had, the problem was it hindered the case because he couldn't concentrate on finding Carly anymore. He had to worry about. So what happens was, he says he's going to put up these 56 screenshots. He told me that. So in these 56 screenshots, I saw them. He never put them up because obviously they were nothing but probe, like showing how great Boone was, because I don't know of how much I can even talk to about them, but it was Boone talking to one of Travis's friends, Jess, which is the exact audio clip that I played in the last episode, giving you a clue into this episode, right? And it's, him saying, Jess said this and that, blah, 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 blah. So in these 56 screenshots, it's basically just Boone saying everything he has done to investigate. I've done this. I'm organizing the polygraphs. I'm doing this. I went here. I went there. I did this. I did that, right? So I'm like, okay, so if this is your proof, right, that Boone is this bad guy, then I'd hate to see, what you actually think is wrong with this guy, because this is just telling me how good of a detective he is. So then let's fast forward a couple of weeks, and I'm hearing this talk of people actually accusing me when I didn't even know these. I didn't even really realize how these polygraphs were being organized. But so the way that they were going to be funded, because Boone was pro bono, he was actually also raising funding for them. And people were pulling out of the funding because someone was calling, and at the time they weren't sure who was calling the donors and telling them all these bad things about Boone. So now these people were donating to other places instead of there because of all these bad things they were hearing, even though they weren't confirmed, they just didn't want to be involved. Right? So just imagine that. Imagine that somebody took the time to call and get funding taken away for polygraphs so that Lindsay and the Gooseys could take polygraphs. How sick is that? So to say that that person cares about Carly is obscene, right? So they never got to the bottom of that, but I was going over, you know, my old chats and stuff to do this episode. They really got to thinking. So they were saying that one of the people was from Colorado. Travis happens to be from Colorado. So if I had to guess, I would say Travis was one of the people that was calling to get this funding pulled. The other person was not Bells, because Bells was, I will play the recording, actually. Oh, no, I'm not even going to bother playing the recording, but I'll just tell you, you know, I don't like her much, but she wasn't one of the people that was that would have called and got the funding pulled. But the fact that, so if she hears this and she still sticks by Travis, then she doesn't care about messing with people either, like I thought she has, because she knows about this, because she was very upset about this, because she said that her Georgia license, if she even has one, her family advocacy license would be taken away because of this. She was very adamant about that. So I would love to know who the other people were calling. I don't know, I have some ideas, but I guess it doesn't matter at this point because the polygraphs were done. I don't know how they were funded or not, but so for him to take the time to call those places is just crazy. How did he even find out which places were donating? I think I can figure that one out too. Because they did say it was a female and a male. So if you want to figure out who it was, you can just go back and think about the person who supposedly told Inyo about him being, or the sheriff told this person that he was a confirmed child molester, right? Because first of all, Inyo has never been involved in this case. Inyo County Sheriff, number one. Mono County Sheriff has barely been involved, even though they have the agency involved. So just think for a little while, and then if you're really involved with this case, you'll know, because this person was very pivotal for a while, but she went away, or they went away. I don't want to use their name because I know they have lawyers, and I don't feel like getting any letters in the mail, right? Because if I do get a letter, then I know even more who it was, but anyways, I digress. So let me move on to my next point. So unfortunately, this is really all I can. I don't really want to go past an hour. If I start making more points, it's going to be much longer than an hour. All of this is very important, though, and people need to understand that, because this infighting and this drama was between people who all thought the same thing. At this point, all these people thought that, you know, Melissa was most likely guilty. That was most of their beliefs. Okay, so this one person, so they also, he was also using groups against each other, right? Like it was, that's why when I separated from him, I made a post saying, look, I don't want any drama with any other groups because of him, right? Like, we should all be working together, right? They have 15,000 strong, or a bunch of small groups. And I think that was calculated by him and someone else to create this drama to take away from Carly. All this has ever done is take away from Carly, right? If you're taking the only really experienced law enforcement officer's time away from Carly and trying to focus on him to tell people that he's not these things, right? He's being slandered so much so that people who were cooperating with him stopped. Who is that benefiting? Think about it. Who is it benefiting? Right. Exactly. That's who it's benefiting. not Carly. Right? And I don't think Lindsay wants the outcome to be that someone harmed Carly. I think that she wants to find Carly. But, you know, everything that you can think of, I'm sure that this experienced law enforcement officer has thought of. How many sightings have there been of Carly since she went missing? Yeah. I mean, any credible sightings? I can't say that there's really been any. You know, we heard of some chatter that there was, you know, around the time that they announced the Dr. Phil thing, that there was one in Reno, Nevada. But they've tried to really make it seem like there were sightings near Lindsay's house many times. And I think that has also been to throw off the investigation. Much more has done to throw off the investigation than there has been done actually investigating. Right? You know, I believe that Linda is still on the case, even though she's not employed by Melissa, even though she was never being paid. So I don't know how that really works. But I know Michael's still on it strong. So just knowing he is on it gives me some faith that things may go in the positive direction. So any fighting in between groups need to really stop. You know, I know that there was groups that were mad that I wouldn't give the Dr. Phil associate that was in my group's name, because I really didn't want people messaging them, because I didn't really know. I didn't think that was right. It doesn't matter what group they're in or anything like that. It doesn't matter. None of that crap matters. All that really matters is finding Carly or getting justice for Carly. Okay, I know that I was blocked from a bunch of groups, and that's fine. I don't need to be in other groups anyways. I don't want to be in other groups. But, you know, I don't understand why. The only way that Carly is going to be found is if people work together to make sure that people don't listen to these horrible lies. You know, it makes you think that this person may have been on the other team the whole time, because he's very vocal now. And the thing is, his minions, I call them, you know, Jennifer Van Hoose, Jamie Ortiz, and the whole Jargon crew, pretty much, which I would like to state that Mono County Sheriff is in that group, right? So imagine being a sheriff's office. You're in like a couple groups, and one of the groups you're in is Jargon, which, you know, even before I realized what it was, I just joined a bunch of groups, and I ended up in that group. And I'm like, this group never talks about Carly. What is this group, right? And then, you know, I realized that it's just a troll group. They were just slandering Lindsay, when there is no reason to bring up Lindsay's past, because we know who the last person with Carly was. We know that Carly is not at Lindsay's. That has been thoroughly checked out. Why are you even talking about the woman? Why? What is your reasoning? To just say bad things about her, call her a bad mother, call her this, call her that. Why? To upset her and make her angry because you know she's vocal? Like, what are you trying to prove? Why are you even a group? You know, what are you doing? So the other day, this is the last thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to end this episode. Next episode, we'll pick up on social media. And how it's affected this case. The following episode will be about the cadaver dog and his handler and a doctor named Oped Vass and his grave detection machine, because they played a pivotal role in this investigation, and I'll get into that. But let me end on this. Okay, so people in that Jargon group, they tried to create drama this past weekend by saying that I created a GoFundMe and it wasn't in the family's name and blah, 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 right? They had it up. They said they did their homework. Jamie Ortiz said you did her homework, right? So, you know, not only did I have a five-hour interview with Joseph Coles, Kiara Coles' dad, you can go and check my other podcast, What's Happened. Kiara Coles has been missing from around the same time as Carly. But when Kiara Coles went missing, she was 3 months pregnant, and her due date is April 23rd. So I was trying to raise awareness for her case. And her dad has been the only one that has been, you know, boots on the ground every day, passing out flyers, looking for his daughter. He has had a troubled life too, like many people, and he doesn't have the means to get a billboard or to get the things he would like, and he wants a billboard, and that's why I set up the GoFundMe for him. So I was on the phone with him while he was talking to Jamie the second time, confirming that I was given the okay to do the GoFundMe for him. I actually have it on recording when I was talking to him, because I figured they would pull some crap like this. But then I figured I don't have to prove myself to anyone. Joe confirmed it, so it's confirmed. So I was on the phone with him, and he was saying, no, he confirmed it. And then she was like, oh, just checking, and then bad-mouthing me, saying, don't trust Derek, and this and that, right? So she didn't take it down, though. So all that's doing, and the only reason, so they talk shit about me all the time in there. I don't care. I would never bring that up. The reason I bring this up is, these people don't care about missing people. All that did was hurt Kiara and Joe. Because now if somebody goes in Jargon not knowing what it's about and sees that, they're like, oh, this is a scam. I'm not going to donate. They may have thought about donating prior to that. Just to they think they're hurting me. They're not hurting me. I'm not benefiting from that GoFundMe, right? I'm just trying to raise awareness for Kiara Coles and her dad to try to get her. We're actually trying to get someone to donate a billboard, because billboards are very expensive. But you think they'd take it down, right? No, it's not down, and they haven't corrected themselves. Those are the type of people you need nowhere near these cases. Okay, and then she went on to say that, you know, that I told another missing person's loved one, but we're talking about Ryan Grable here, that she was evil and all this. When in fact, Brandon Harris is the one that was skeptical of Jamie to me. I didn't even know what he was talking about. Now I understood after I saw what she wrote, because obviously I see everything that's in there. I don't read everything, but the only reason I was even reading those was because it involved someone else. Things they say about me, I don't care. If it's affecting another missing person, then yeah, it bothers me, because that's what I care about. They can talk as much crap about me as they want. It's never going to get to me. But they're only hurting the missing people, and they don't get that. I wish they would just go away by now, but they're not. They're sticking around like that piece of poop when you poop and it just won't go down. That's what they are. They're like that little piece of poop that just won't go down the drain. They aren't worth much more than that. So hopefully you guys join me next week to listen to the rest of how social media has affected Carly Grisé's case. I'll get more into how things regarding the official Carly Grisé group ran by quote-unquote special investigator and Melissa, you know, what the sheriff has done and said negatively and positively, and what they've actually done for regarding social media in this case. How many, you know, like I've said already, they have had no press conferences. I've already addressed most of the negative that social media has done. You know, I could just, I'm going to be beating a dead horse if I really go into more negatives, especially associating with those people. But they have been one of the main negatives. It's an orchestrated attack on Carly by these people. And now that, you know, much time has passed, it becomes more clear who's orchestrating it and why. So if, now, the only thing I urge is that anybody who really wants to see Carly found, and you know who you are, and that people know who you are, because when people who come into, for instance, my group, because that's all I can really speak on, because, well, I'm in other groups. I'm in the special investigative group. I'm in Justice for Carly. And those groups are constructive. And I'm sure that the other groups, such as Tanya and Anna, is very constructive as well. There's no drama in these groups, right? It's really just kind of trying to figure out where Carly is or what we missed. But, you know, with Dr. Phil brought a lot of newbies and has allowed a lot of people to get in my group. And I've always allowed people who had a strong opinion the other way in my group, so you can kind of see things from another perspective, right? Well, they've been causing a lot of hell. We've also found things out by Carly's boyfriend telling us what Carly had on the night before, exactly what she had on. And it hasn't been found yet. So is she in that? Well, that's something we can talk about maybe on my channel or something, because that's not in the cards yet for this podcast. But like I said, next episode will be about maybe like one or two, maybe like another 10, 15 minutes on negatives. And then I will go into how social media has positively affected this case. That's it. So I'm just trying to think if there's anything I missed that, because I know I just got sidetracked. So what I was saying was, when people come into the group, they kind of just say, you people are pieces of crap for accusing somebody, blah, blah, blah. But then you ask them why, you know, why are you saying this? Well, I know her and she wouldn't do that. Okay. Well, I'm sure the people that knew Ted Bundy didn't think he would do that either. Or, you know, the people that know somebody never think they'll do that. But what are your reasons? Why? Tell me, can you answer these questions? And they cannot answer them. And there's only one person that can answer them. And I wish that they would, because then everyone could unite and find Carly if she's really missing. So just answer the questions, get it out of the way. No one will accuse you. You won't feel like everyone is accusing you if you just answer a couple questions, right? It's as simple as that. And like I said, people come in the group and say that we're all evil. This one's evil. That one's evil for doing that. But then they can never answer anything. And they will keep coming, I'm sure. And then a lot of them get disrespectful. And then I will kick them out. But I will never kick anybody out for their opinion. So, until next time, guys. I am Dee with Missing Person Cases Network. This is Carly Gousset. The truth lies in between. And this is the end of episode 5, part 1.